Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out.
I could do a whole hour of genital mapping with someone, right? And that might look like naming the parts. This is your outer labia. This is your inner labia. This is your introitus to your vagina. This outer part is your vulva. This is your mom's pubis. A lot of times people don't know the names of their parts.
They don't.
They didn't know.
We
didn't learn, right?
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Most of us think of arousal and desire as spontaneous, even a little mysterious. But on today's show, I'm joined by the incredible Pamela Mattson, founder of Back to the Body and sex and intimacy coach, Court Vox, who myth busts that assumption entirely. See, when you're someone who's ready to go from erotically numb to erotically alive, they know exactly how to get the sexual energy going again. In this episode, they talk about low libido and its likely culprit, high boredom, how to create a new relationship with your body, and how the right touch can unleash both deep desire and deep healing. Pamela and Court also talk about their retreats, two words, pleasure demos. Plus, we answer your questions. We talk to you about how to feel more confident in the bedroom, whether it's okay to pleasure a partner when you yourself never orgasm, and how to have your best curvy girl sex. Intentions with Emily. Join me in setting an intention for this show. So, when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? How could it help you? Well, my intention is to open your eyes to some people doing some alternative ways of sexual healing. Remember to plug, rate, and review the podcast wherever you're listening. We so appreciate it. Helps keep the show free and available. And I have a new article at sexwithemily.com, 9 books for a super sexy fall. You want to ask me a question? Just call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Leave me your questions there or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. So a few things before I drop you into my conversation with Pamela and Court. As I mentioned in the episode, I went to one of their retreats in Hawaii on March 9th, 2020, just a few days before we went into lockdown. There I was on a hands-on intimacy retreat with a group of about 20 people I've never met before. It was all women attending the retreat with some male sexological body workers, who you'll hear more about shortly, participating in the week-long retreat. So the women were there for many things. One was there to learn to ask for what she really wanted from her partner, another to figure out how to masturbate, and someone else to get comfortable again with any kind of touch after a long dry spell. Well, I was there to see what this was all about. After all, research is me search. For me, I had some hands-on experience and a practice that I know can be truly an alternative source of healing for so many people. So I want you to listen to this episode with an open mind and open heart, and I'm sure you'll find something here for you. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Pamela Mattson is a certified somatic sex educator, founder of Back to the Body Retreats, veteran speaker, educator, renowned blogger, and the author of Shameless, How I Ditched the Diet, Got Naked, Found True Pleasure, and Still Got Home in Time to Cook Dinner. She's appeared on countless media outlets, The New York Times, Oprah, 60 Minutes. Find out more about Pamela at backtothebody.org. Court Vox is a sex and intimacy consultant, founder of the Body Vox, and sex educator for Back to the Body Retreats. Find out more about him at thebodyvox.com or Instagram at Court Vox. Welcome to the show, Pamela Mattson and Court Vox. This dynamic, beautiful duo is sitting in front of me. You are in Los Angeles for a very important weekend.
We are. We're, every once in a while, we'll come and we'll do what's called a portal, which is like an opening salvo to what's possible for women. It's non-residential. And then I get to come to do private retreats with Court in LA and other places. And then sometimes I get to come and have dinner with you. But I'm an East Coaster and he's a West Coaster.
Oh, okay. That's right. Well, this is fun that you guys are coming together for this weekend. So tell me about your Back to the Body retreats. And then I want to hear about how you also work with couples.
So we've been doing Back to the Body retreats for 10 years. They're very unusual in the world in that they're immersion retreats for women. It's a place for women to drop in and really explore their own bodies as opposed to having to please a partner. Like, what is it to receive and not be in service? You know, what are all those things that people are talking about? What if they have vaginal pain? What if they maybe have orgasms, or maybe they don't, and they don't really understand it? Maybe there's more. What we have found is that women who come to our retreats have a very definite outcome. They feel better about their genitals. So they have genital self-esteem. Yes! They are more likely to initiate sex when they get home and in their lives, reduce body shame, they reduce trauma, they're better able to ask for what they want. And they have learned how to name their desire, how to negotiate consent. And I think one of the most beautiful things is sisterhood, is that they heal relationships and competition with other women. What I've been seeing, Emily, is A, the women asking the men to come, which is very different than when the men ask. When the men call me and say, I want my wife to do a retreat or I want to do a couple's retreat, it's often very hard to bring in the woman.
Kind of like a threesome, too. When partners try to get their part of a threesome, like, it's got to be her idea.
Right. So when it's her idea.
Whenever her idea, it's a good idea.
The men come and they're really brave. And the men have had lots of different feelings around this.
The men are like, what have you done with my wife? Like, she is a whole new human. I want a piece of that. I want a piece of the cake that she has.
Right. I want what she's having.
Yeah.
I was on one of your retreats and I want you to explain for a minute the sexological bodywork part of it. And I want you to explain if you could just give an example of how women, like the before and after.
So sexological bodywork is an active receiving. So it's not like a traditional massage where you're laying there and being touched. It's really active. So the practitioner is really involved, asking you to move and be present, to be aware of your breath, to be aware of your sound, encouraging sound. You know, we're really encouraging people to speak up and ask for what they want and explore through my hands, basically. So those can be really important. The other thing is we keep our hands gloved. It can include the full body, so it can include genital touch. It doesn't have to, but it can. We do explorations in sensation. We do explorations in body parts. So genital mapping, body mapping. We do explorations in fantasy and
role play
and games, how to bring play into your sex life.
But we start really simple. So if you feel like, wow, this is too advanced for me. No, every woman starts where she is. And we start with just connecting you to your arousal. And what does that feel like? And how do we use erotic energy? And this is kind of a matriarchal society. Each woman has a female safe port and you're in sisterhood where there's no competition and the men are supporting. But your sessions are private. Men always keep their clothes on. They don't get in contact with clients after retreats. We have very, very strict ethical boundaries. And that's really, really important to us. So women may start here and then, you know, when they're done with us, they're like in the orgasmic Olympics.
Right. Seriously. Can you explain the mapping, the body mapping? Because I think that's a really important part of this practice, because it does start with like get to know your vulva, ground in it, take a look, look in a mirror. But you go a little bit further than that with the mapping.
I could do a whole hour of genital mapping with someone, right? And that might look like naming the parts of this is your outer labia, this is your inner labia, this is your introitus to your vagina, this outer part is your vulva, this is your mons pubis. A lot of times people don't know the names of their parts.
They don't.
They didn't know.
I see that.
We didn't learn, right? Mm-hmm. And so even identifying internally, this is your G-spot. Also, how does it feel if I put a little pressure to the left or to the right? Or up or down.
And it's deeper. Slow. Like it's a, and you really, when we're, what you're talking about is like you're sitting there with a glove, you're doing it, but there could be a mirror and you're looking together and you're actually showing so they can become more connected.
Mm-hmm. And understanding that your clitoris has legs and that every woman is built differently. We're like very advanced plumbing systems, you know, and that the clitoris, as delicious as that little bump is just the tip of the iceberg, and helping women find their clitoral legs. And, you know, women will say to us, Emily, like, they have no libido. They don't have any desire. There's lots of reasons for that. One of the reasons for that is they're bored. I mean, I'm just going to name it. It's this bored. I am so bored. Like, you may love your partner. I can't masturbate one more time to whatever it is. I'm just over it. And you know, you don't always get to tell your partner what you want.
I think that's the big point.
That's a big, yeah.
Just across the board, men, women, it's like, what do you want to discover today? What do you want to explore? I don't know. And then it's like, well, here's a menu of all the things. And they're like, wow, I didn't even know that X, Y, and Z existed or were an option or that I would be interested in that. And so sometimes it's just having the menu and also like the permission and the space to try it. Yeah. Also like the possibility of being like, I didn't like that. It's like, okay, moving on. It's
like, because so much of sex for many vulva owners is it can be more passive, or we just say yes to things because it's easier than saying no, we think. But we don't even know what we're feeling because some of us go numb. We just check out of sex. So this is like the process of really being connected and embodied. So you aren't just giving up your power like that. You are able to speak up. So that is part of the practice, right?
And to get like Epicurean touch, like, you know, people who actually know how to touch a woman's body. So you learn, oh, that's what that feels like. How do I ask for that when I get home?
How can people connect this on their own? Like, let's say they can't come to a retreat. How would you explain the feeling, like from where people start? And where they are now for, like, the goal is to become embodied, but some people don't even really understand that.
Practice breath work, practice things that where they can emote sound. Also, I really love like ecstatic dance or five rhythms dance, which is like a really organic form of movement, which is not about partner dancing. It's really about self-expression and finding your own movement. I really encourage that for everybody. You really kind of are there and you're like, I'm finding myself being self-conscious of my movement. Like, can I allow myself to move the way that I want to move and I feel?
Right.
And that's something that we encourage on the table as well. It's like, if you were to move organically to my touch, you know, like, what would that feel like? What would that look like? Not even what would it look like.
So it's kind of the opposite of what we talk about a lot is performative, when we're more performative in the bedroom. Like, I'm going to move this way because I think that's what my partner wants. What we're talking about here is this deep grounding into what you actually want and what your body's reacting to in that moment, rather than being in your head and thinking what would be sexy right now, what my partner would want, which is a total reversal for so many of us.
And there are a lot of tools, Emily. So I know they're going to put up the link to our website.
Of course.
And if they're set up for the newsletter, they will get a free video instruction on how to do lotus lift meditation. So, you know, that's my signature thing. It's a like name drop. Oprah has featured it twice, 2 years in a row. And it's really simple, and it's a really great way for women and men, because you've been using it with men,
yeah,
too.
I use it too.
Did I do the lotus lift?
Yes. So you took your hand,
okay,
and you cupped your vulva.
Oh.
And you rocked.
Oh, I love the lotus lift. Yes.
Back to back.
And back to back with a partner, but you can do it on your own. And then feeling your arousal, feeling your embodiment, and I will coach people through it. I have members of our community, women do Zooms together. And so I work with Deepak Chopra's three soul questions. Who am I? What do I want? What's getting in the way? And it's a beautiful way to start your morning, get arousal moving. And you get arousal moving in your body. You are fighting depression. You are fighting anxiety. You are moving serotonin, your love hormones. You want to feel embodied. You don't have to masturbate and have an orgasm. Women don't know the arousal principle. Men don't either. That just being in arousal is an embodiment and is a creative life force energy. And it's a wellness tool. Your sexual energy is wellness. And so you can get those tools online. We're giving them away.
Okay.
We also have Back to the Body practitioners. People can buy a series and they can work online through Zoom with a practitioner if they're not ready to come to a retreat.
Great. Okay. I love that you're providing that. It's backtothebody.org.
Yeah.
I love the lotus lift as like an in-between, because it's really like we walk around sometimes not loving our bodies all day, feeling like it's another thing on our list, but just to cup it. I'm cupping right now. You guys can't see me. And just say like, good morning. Like this is, and feeling that, because it is energy. It is our life's force. It is our creative center.
Yeah.
People call in like, how do I have anal? But then you're like, have you ever really connected or taken a look at your own genitals? And it's such a powerful practice.
I think that piece, Emily, is really big, right? Which is like desire and congruency with the body.
Talk about that.
Talk about desire and congruency with the body, please.
It happens with couples, but it happens with individuals where, you know, somebody's like, I really would like to have anal, or I really want to explore this extreme BDSM scene. And then it's like, their body is so far removed from that fantasy. There needs to be a ton of other work, which... Let's start with connecting with your body first, because if you have no connection to your body, none of that is going to resonate. It's going to hurt, or you're not even going to feel it for that matter.
Right.
So that piece I think is really important, is to be able to connect with your body. And, you know, how do you do that? Sensate focus is a really good exercise to do that with. And that's just like, you can do it yourself. I feel the sensations in my hand.
So many of us don't feel anything during sex. It's like a numbing, or it's a disassociation. And so I think that's a lot of this work is that we're talking about, is that you don't have to go through life like that. You can wake up your body.
At any time. You know, the other thing when we're talking about staying on the couples work for a moment, what we found with couples too is that they pay out of each other's no bank.
Oh, I love this. Tell me more.
I could say something like, well, I think that you're frightened of hurting me and you don't want to spank me.
Right. And I go, I'm not afraid of that. I'm down to spank you. Let's try it.
You're down to spank me?
Yeah, let's try it.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So first time on Sex with Emily. So what's true is that we have stories about what our partner likes and doesn't like, and what our partner is willing to do and not do. And then we have shame around asking it. They may actually have the same desires. We had no idea to see couples, no matter what age you are, but focusing on midlife couples, and would just say 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and maybe after 30 years of marriage, having a brand new relationship with their sexuality, and that it's possible.
I know we always send people to our yes, no, maybe list on our site, which I think has been helpful for so many couples, and that's just a document that lists a bunch of, you know, yes or no's or maybes. So I'm thinking when you're working with couples, is there any commonalities though between these couples? I guess one of them is probably they both have to want to. Because sometimes there's couples where one doesn't want to and one doesn't.
You can't show up to a couples retreat if you don't want to be there, right?
No.
You know, and it makes our work easier. You know, when the people that are there are like, we both want the better of this collection of people, right? We want to be a better couple. We want a better sex life. We want a better relationship. There's a willingness to try, a willingness to discover.
So maybe the man really wants to learn how to do really good genital touch, but, you know, only knows what he knows, right?
He's been going, looking, digging in there, looking for, like, he's looking for change for
exactly.
the last 20 years.
Right. And maybe the woman doesn't know how to encourage her partner. And so I'll lay next to the woman, like with some space, right? And let's say Court's teaching the partner, doesn't have to be a husband. Mm-hmm. And Court is teaching and the man is following. And I'm also coaching her. How are we breathing? How are we telling our guy that this feels good? How do we move? And so it's some monkey see, monkey do. It's for couples who haven't been around other couple energy. It's very exciting. But in boundaries, because we're not going to be having...
No, we're not having a foursome.
We're not having a foursome. All the boundaries are intact. And of course, if they need our help, we will glove up and show a partner how to do something. Like, we'll stop whatever's going on. Girl partner or boy partner mm-hmm. or non-binary partner needs support. We'll stop, wash our hands, put on our gloves, and go help. But usually it can be done by watching.
So what about the legality of these retreats with one-way touch and sexological body workers?
You know, there are specific states where it is still illegal because we are touching genitals in some cases. You know, we are keeping our clothes on. We're not having sex with clients. And it is, you know, therapeutic. So this is edgy work. I'm not going to mince words. It's edgy work. It's not for everyone.
And we're certified, I'm certified in the state of California.
As a sexological body worker?
As a sexological body worker, I was certified in the state of California. What we have to be really clear about is that we're sex educators, that we're not therapists, and that we work within a particular set of ethical guidelines. And we're very clear about that. And so far, so good.
I think everyone listening to this show knows how important sex is. You probably wouldn't be listening if you didn't think there was something to learn. But yet with sex, there's nothing really available for that kind of coaching. We think, oh, I should just magically know how to touch a vulva, how to touch a penis, how to have anal, all of it. But where would you learn? And we all know that porn isn't going to be the way to teach. So, I really appreciate the work that you're doing and just thinking about how many people could really benefit from this work once they get past the shame and, oh, I thought that I should know this because I'm a man or I'm a woman. No, we're not taught this. In fact, we're taught misinformation.
It's a little bit like, you know, when you go to the spa for the first time and you're like, oh, I got to be naked with all these people. And for the first 5 minutes, you're like self-conscious about it. And then you forget that you're naked because everybody else is naked. It's
right.
Like, this kind of falls away. And I feel like it's a little
it
bit like that. With us and our work, it's like there might be some reticence. And even with me, I'll just speak for myself. Like, sometimes I get nervous. Like, I'm using my body as a teaching tool. She's using her body as a teaching tool. There's some scratchiness around that with people we're just meeting or even still people that we know really well.
And I was remembering, Emily, that people learn in different ways. And some people, they learn visually. Some people learn from a book. The resources are beautiful. And what's even more beautiful is permissioning more and more people. I'm tired of hearing that I'm all washed up and I have no libido, we're over, and, you know, 50, we're dead. It's a lie. It's just all a lie. The biggest lie ever told is that people over 50 don't have incredible sex and multiple orgasms. And if you want a little bit of help in our medical profession, that it's available for you. And I want them to know, all your listeners to know, that the opportunity doesn't just belong, you know, to the 20-year-old. And the millennials are getting older. Let me just let those millennials know. You are aging up, guys.
They are, and right?
And the boomers are still booming.
And boomers
so we have a large population of people who have a lot of pleasure potential.
How do you encourage people to look at pleasure and to put more pleasure into their life?
First of all, our society, Western society, or United States for that matter, you know, we really encourage people to find their pleasure, to find their success, to be in their joy, and then not too much.
Right? Not too much, but not don't talk about sex.
Pleasure, not too much joy, because that would mean that you're selfish or
narcissistic,
right? And it's this kind of mixed message. Like, you know, you go after it, but be humble. You better be humble about all of it, right? How do you be humble and seek your pleasure at the same time? It's like they're a little bit opposing identities.
They are, yeah.
But I think it's noticing that that is a cultural script and choosing it anyway.
Yeah, just made me think about it, because pleasure potential, I think we all have so much potential for pleasure.
And we have ceilings. We have ceilings.
Self-imposed ceilings. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Stick around, because when we come back, Pamela and Court and I answer your listener questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Court and Pamela, I would love you to help me answer an email from a listener. This is Diana, 33, in Santa Fe, Mexico. Hey, Dr. Emily. I'm wondering how to get comfortable having sex and feeling sexy as a plus-size woman with a man who is healthy. I need some advice. I want to be present and enjoy my body, his body, and sex in general. But I find it hard to not focus on the weight, extra weight, and my body perceived imperfections. Also, looking for good sex positions for women, this has been holding me back from exploring sexually and having sexual experiences, and I'm ready to shift it. Now, I know, Pamela, that you've gone through a lot of this. You spoke about this in your book. You do live demonstrations.
I started sports.
I've seen a lot of Pamela. So tell me, Pamela, how would we advise Diana here?
Oh, I want to take a big deep breath. You know, holding our self-love and our self-acceptance in one hand and our shame and disappointment in the other hand. And just knowing that it's not one or the other.
Yeah.
It just isn't one or the other. So he's becoming like the rope artist of the century over here. He'll say that.
He's trying. I'm studying.
He's studying rope. And so last night he was showing me some ties and some things that he was doing. I was really curious about it. And Court had me like opened up, tied up on a 4-poster bed. And I was, my legs were just like really up there. I mean, I was, how would you call it?
Spread.
I was spread.
Okay.
Okay. And I was curled up, which meant I couldn't play to the male lens. I couldn't like flatten out my belly and stretch out and sort of like soften my rolls. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was very aware. Here's the self-acceptance artist, right? I was very aware of these 3 very large rolls of fat on my belly. while he was being magnificent and showing me a wonderful experience, I was very aware of my belly fat. And at some point, I just sort of had to acknowledge, okay, we're having a little belly fat shame. Okay, there it is. Hi, belly fat. We've had this conversation before. And then I had to go, well, he doesn't seem bothered by it. He's not bothered by that belly fat that's there. And I'm having a good time, and obsessing over the three rolls was taking away from the possibility of my really experiencing the pleasure that my body had to offer. And so then I had to put it down.
Mm. So in the moment, you didn't say hello. You didn't say it out loud. No. Although you could have with Court, and it would have been fun. Probably right. Would have broken laughter. But I love that your examples, Pamela. I know you were a kindergarten teacher, right?
Yes.
Isn't that where you started? I always think about that. I'm like, this is why she's so good at talking to everybody. It's like, really? It's like, hello, hello there. Okay, I'm going to put you away now because Court's doing something here. And I feel this is my time for pleasure. You actually had like a conversation with yourself. You were able to go back and be embodied, be in your body, and receive this magnificent gift from this beautiful man who's just there for your pleasure, not looking at anything that you're looking at, you know? So, and it's not like you won't have to do that again. Like maybe tonight something could happen, but it's that process. When you're saying that you hold in one hand, you hold acceptance, and the other hand, you might, your criticism, they're always sort of there. But if you could get that acceptance voice to be a little bit louder and kind of trump the negative voice more often, you'll have a little bit less struggle, but it never goes away is what we're saying, right, Pamela? Because you've been talking about this for years. It doesn't go poof, but no. That's how you could quickly move through it, I suppose, is by saying, I deserve this moment of pleasure.
Nobody was running, screaming from the building, okay?
I also want to just say from my perspective, and to answer this woman as well, can you allow your partner to enjoy your flesh? Can you not deny your partner their pleasure in your flesh, right? So I can find pleasure in a lot of different types of bodies. And some of those bodies are fleshy bodies. And some of those bodies are thin bodies. Some of them are female. Some of them are male. I can find my pleasure in that, not just with my eyes, but my hands. And so to encourage people to find pleasure, not just in what they're seeing, and also to see past just what's in front of you, but to see the overall connective experience, right? Right. So I didn't see belly. I didn't see your belly rolls.
See, it's my belly rolls.
Right. But I love what you're saying here about that moment that it's, again, this goes back to our society and that's so focused on a certain body type and that we have to be perfect. And it's all the time we spend on the external, but in the moment there with a partner, like what we're saying here to Diana is allow your partner to really relish and celebrate and love all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back to receiving, like allow that to happen as well. And I think it's because we assume, like you said, Pamela, he didn't go running from the building. I think as women, we often assume that, oh, they're going to notice it from our bodies to like, oh, I have a razor burn or I have a pimple, or do they notice my left boob is bigger than my right? I mean, we think of all these things and it's like, who decided that we're against this perfect standard? I mean, I guess it's what we're seeing, you know, all media. I mean, this is the oldest debate.
Like when he just said that, I felt my body take a breath.
I saw you. Yeah. I saw you.
My body just sort of went, oh, that feels good to hear. Having your partner verbally adore your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to say, you know, it is just so sexy having you just spread open like that, like both your holes are like right there. And that's what I'm seeing. I am loving to squeeze your flesh right now. It's so sexy in my hands, and grab that big fat ass or those skinny bony asses of yours, you know, whatever you've got, right? Is it, if your lover can offer some adoration.
Mm. If it's wanted in back to the body sessions or in the private sessions that we do.
We do that.
We do that. Like, would you like me to reflect how I see you? Would you like me to give you words of adoration, right? And so that might look like, you know, your vulva is so full and so pink. It's beautiful. But do you know, like, how beautiful your vulva is? Right? It can be that. And that's really important to hear from a partner.
That even made me relax. You're not even looking at my vulva right now.
that's not messy or icky or pervy.
No.
Okay. So it's context. Yeah. So if the context is set, now I'm going to talk about like retreats and a practitioner. If the context is set, this is your practitioner, your educator, and he says, would you like me to offer reflections? You're in a context. He's not like seeking something from you.
Yeah.
Not going to take from you. He's just offering to be a mirror. And so that you can start to feel what it feels like to have your body adored, because most of us don't believe it.
Mm-mm.
And so we need practice in receiving adoration. We need practice in receiving love. We need practice in receiving gifts. I mean, I can tell you, Emily, you are so beautiful. But then if you were to say to me, Pamela, you look so great, I might go, oh, well, thank you. I just...
You do look great. I was waiting until the end to tell you that. But,
you know, we brush it off.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like having a moment and saying, well, thank you for seeing me. I actually feel pretty great today. It's always like, that's a great dress. Oh, I got it on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Not, that's a great dress. Yeah, I spent money I didn't have because I wanted to be this hot in that dress. Like embracing a little bit our joy, our own generosity, not just for you, but for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to ask our partners for that we need adoration, but then we also have to learn how to take it in. And I often say to people when they say, well, I want my partner, or I'm nervous because my partner goes down to me and I'm afraid they don't want to be doing it. And if you actually, with someone who wants to be doing it, I always say, tell them, say, if you're going down your partner, tell them that, babe, I'm not going anywhere, lay back, I have all night. Because the second we know that our partner actually wants to please us, like, oh, you're going to go down on me all night, well, then I'm here for it. So it's almost like we're giving you guys a lot of options. They could talk about it. They could go to retreat. They could just decide that they're going to share some affirmations. Could be the thing that helps couples get unstuck and reconnected.
And you know what the big thing is, Emily? Whatever they choose, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You actually have to do something. Like, we'll run webinars. I'll see the same woman. Like, she'll show up to every webinar in the same sweatpants and the same easy chair with her same story that you need 17 pounds to lose before, or the right moment, or, you know, when Mars isn't in retrograde, but it always is. And so there is always going to be that obstacle. And so it's when you decide, I've wasted enough of my life. Mm-hmm. I've wasted enough of my life not having what I want. And it's going to be risky. It's going to take time. It's going to take some money. It's going to like take being a little uncomfortable to find the pleasure I want. And then you do it, and it's like, holy moly.
You do the work. You got to do the work. People aren't willing to do the work. All right, when we come back, we answer a question from Abby, who's never had an orgasm before, and I asked Pamela and Court my 5 quickie questions. We'll be right back. In this episode, we discuss how sex changes as you age. For vulva owners, a huge part of that process happens during menopause or perimenopause. You may lose libido, experience vaginal dryness, brain fog, hot flashes. Well, if this sounds like you, I would just recommend checking out Women S. They have amazing products that help through this process. I've never seen anything like this brand. They have something called their Hot Flash Kit, which includes their dietary supplement, Me No Pause. So clever. And their Gone in a Flash Cooling Mist. I also love their vaginal moisturizer, Daily V Soothe. Well, I have another question here. One more question from a listener. This is from Abby 33 in Illinois. And this is just reminding me of what we're saying here. She says, Dr. Emily, I'm having a hard time having an orgasm. I've never had one in my life. I would call myself a people pleaser, a giver, and I always want to make my husband happy during our lovemaking. It worries me that I'll never experience having an orgasm I hear people talk about. My question is, if I never have an orgasm, is it okay to be content in being a giver instead of desperately wanting what I need and crave?
I think she answered her own question at the end. She said, is it okay to give this up? And obviously, she wouldn't have asked that question if she felt that it was okay. I think it's not okay for her, right? She's identified that she wants this. She desperately wants this. And so it's not okay. Period. She should ask her partner to help her discover that and maybe invite her partner to have a session that is just for her.
Right.
Just for her pleasure. Just say, babe, tonight's all about my pleasure.
All about me. Go down on me. You make love to me, but it's for me. I'm directing you. I'm asking for what I want. This has nothing to do with you, ma'am. You are my tool tonight. Right?
And maybe that's a leap. Tonight. That's a leap, though. She's never had an orgasm.
Yeah. So,
but I think that's where everyone listening to this, if you are a pleaser and you feel like the sex is never about you, it's totally okay to say, how about tonight's about me and tomorrow's about you?
You know, our work is somatic, right? It is body-centered. And it's so easy for me to say, just ask your husband to, you know, and it's like, you know, there's a ton of, I'm sure, body stuff that's connected with emotions.
Guilt.
And so to even say those words can be really challenging.
All you listeners, buy a massage table. I own stock in none of it, okay? Get a massage table. Start with giving each other out of course. Start with massage. What a massage table allows you to do is have full access to the body. Mm-hmm. You can climb on a table, you know, all kinds. You can have great sex on a massage
table. I have a massage table now, and it's amazing. So I'll have like a partner come over, and he's like, I'm going to set up the massage table while you finish work, and then I'll come out, and I'll have the massage table and the oil and the can. I'm like, great, you know, and just receive. It's literally a game changer. And
get it out of the bedroom.
Yeah, keep it out of the bed. Right. If you can get a massage table, it really helps you stay focused and you have more access. But I guess what we want to say to Abby is that we don't think it's okay to be content being a giver instead of desperately wanting what you need and crave. No, we are telling you that it's time for you to, you wrote into the show. That's a great first step.
Yeah.
I would even have this conversation with your husband, maybe even show him, maybe play this for him. Because I'm certain, Abby, your husband wants to be a good lover to you and wants you to have orgasms and pleasure. And I can't imagine a husband reading that and saying, oh yeah, babe, it's totally a content for you to be a giver. Let's go.
Partners want to know what turns you on. They want to know how that you're being touched. Like, you know, when I'm touching a lover, I'm wanting to know, like, is that the right pressure? Does this feel really good? You know, how can I make this feel better? And to teach couples how to have that conversation while keeping it hot, because it can be really hot.
It's a hot experience of getting to know it, getting to discover each other's bodies together.
I think oral is actually a really great lesson, right? This is how I like my cock sucked. This is how I like my pussy eaten, right? This is how I want you to do it. Let's play. Let's play discovery.
Play.
Right?
Right.
If you think about it like that, like we're just going to have playtime. Right? It takes a little bit of the pressure off of it. It's also like, we're going to be playtime for you tonight. Let's see what you like.
Yeah. Tell how fun. What. Like, let's go.
I want to know. You give me step-by-step guidance on how you want it done tonight. It's all about you. Like, that could be really sexy and fun. It doesn't have to be this like, no, to the left. You know, if
exactly.
You agree on it ahead of time, it's a fun game.
It is a fun game. We got the lubes here. We're like, let's play. We're going to find your orgasm. Yeah.
And has she found her own orgasm?
Yes. Have you masturbated? Have you found your own orgasm? Because sometimes it's really hard when we have a partner trying. I remember I had a partner once when I had an orgasm. He kept trying and we went to Good Vibrations and we bought all the toys. But then I still felt that pressure that I had to have him leave and try on my own finally. We were trying for like a few months because then I could do all the faces and do all the things and go at my own pace without the pressure of someone wanting me to orgasm. So Abby, I guess, can decide whatever works for her, but you're going to be responsible for your own orgasm, whether it's on your own masturbating or it's signing your partner up to come along on this fun journey together. But that's how it's going to happen, Abby, and it's doing the work and taking the steps like we've talked about. What are you most excited about right now since I've seen you last?
I am the most excited right now about midlife sexuality and about all the bullshit that's been fed to women and men about menopause and menopause and the judgment and shame that we throw on people who are actually working with what's available now so that their insides match their outsides and their hormones are working for them so that their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, dare I say it, 80s
yes.
Are full of really hot sex. And I think we have to, like we were chatting, Court's a little bit younger than me. just like, you know,
just a little bit.
Like, you know,
we don't know how much younger.
Who's counting decades? I mean, that's just so old fashioned.
Nobody.
And at 40, he was, you know, starting to talk about, you know, that's an older person, like around 62. And I was like, oh, you boy, you just change that idea. Because yes, maybe when you were growing up, 62 is when you retired, and 62 was considered older. But I know people at 62 now, they wouldn't even consider retiring, or they're launching their third or their fourth chapter,
right?
And they're hotter than ever. And so it's sort of about reframing midlife sexuality, understanding, Emily, the difference between biological aging and sociological aging.
Let's talk about it.
First of all, we have so many advances in medicine, right? So men, you know, when they turn like early 30s, their testosterone starts to decline, their hormone levels start to decline. And so you start to lose muscle faster, you recover less quickly at the gym, your libido is not as strong. So, you know, there are options for men and women to take hormone replacements that are medically supervised and doctor supervised, that do help you have a more vital life.
And that are different than your mother's and father's testosterone.
Right. Typically what we hear is that men in their 40s start to have a drop in testosterone. But the truth is, for all genders, your testosterone is going to drop definitely after your mid-20s. But for some, it varies depending on the lifestyle you've had, if you've taken hormones before, if you've taken birth control pill, or how healthy you are. Right. So it's really about monitoring your hormones, getting them tested, and then realizing there's new options right now that are not your mother's hormones.
Mother Nature, okay, really didn't expect this of us to live so long. And so Mother Nature is like living in a whole other time zone from us. So Mother Nature is like, she's very cute. She thinks that women should have their babies at about 15,
right?
Because that's when we are the most virile. That's when we're the most fertile. And at age 27 is when a woman's fertility begins to decline. Now, I have a child who's 27, and I'm just beginning to think of him as an adult person.
Right.
Okay. Like, not at the end of his reproductive, like him and his like wife that doesn't exist. Not at the end of their reproductive decline. And so it's the same. If you use that same model, Emily, that our bodies haven't quite caught up yet with our sociological lives, which is your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, could be the sexiest, juiciest parts of our life. And our bodies are like, whoa, I'm confused. What are you doing? You're still alive.
You know? Yeah. I don't even like the term midlife.
Yeah.
Who decides what that is?
Right.
I want to say that hormone replacement and hormone therapy is a total personal choice, and it's not necessary for everyone. I think what is important is that, to Pamela's point, like, our society is changing, and to be 50, 60, you can be sexually vibrant at all of these ages. It doesn't stop, right? I mean, my dad is in his 70s, and he's pretty clear with me that he and his wife are still really active.
I'm going to beat you. My mother, we're driving for Chinese food, you know, at 4 o'clock, which is when older people go. She's a super senior. She's 95. She was like, Pamela, we need to stop at the Walgreens. I said, okay, Mom, what do you need? You know, that lubricant for the private parts. I was like, right, Mom. Because you know, Pamela, that when you sell pleasure at night when you wake up, I like that toy you gave me. With the lube, you sleep better.
Didn't she go to one of your retreats?
She went.
Thank you so much. Pamela and Court, I have to ask you each the 5 questions we ask all of our guests. They're quickie questions. What's your biggest turn on?
I want to say right now it's Court.
Me too. Okay. Court, what's your biggest turn on?
Right now, control.
Okay. What's your biggest turnoff?
Lack of attention.
Deodorant.
What makes good sex?
Being willing to play.
Court?
Being embodied and having time.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
It's going to get better.
Same.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
They can have the best sex of your life at any age, and they can start at any time.
That the things that scare you the most are the things that are probably going to be the most exciting.
Love it. Great answers. Thank you both. Okay, tell me where everyone can find you, and we'll put this all in the show notes.
They can find us at backtothebody.org. And you know, even though Court and I are booked right now through March for privates, I have other teams working, so they can email. Okay. And if you want to be willing to plan for the future, because I recommend it, they can check that out, sign up for the newsletter, find out about the retreats. We are accessible. You can find me at the Pamela Madsen and at Court Box.
Yeah.
There's a whole team of people who want to support you and give you lots of information about what's available now from your home or get on an airplane with us. Just get vaccinated.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this episode, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you'd like to ask me a question about sex or dating relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many great articles diving deep into topics like, how do I have multiple orgasms? How do I last longer in bed? How do I stop thinking about my ex? What sex toy should I try? And so much more. Sign up for weekly emails. I've been told I give really good emails. I do. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.